Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 103, Cruelty Free.
Statement of Dylan Anderson regarding an unusual pig he acquired on his farm near the Marlborough Forest, New Zealand. Original statement given July 2, 2014. Audio recording by Jonathan Sims, head archivist of the Magnus Institute, London. Statement begins. Pigs are tricky. They are very intelligent animals, but I've found I can never completely bring myself to trust them. They can be your best friend, then tackle your legs from behind if they're feeling mean. And when a pig hits you, you know you've been hit. It doesn't help matters that I am acutely aware that a pig would be more than happy to eat me if the opportunity came up. They're true omnivores, and they wouldn't necessarily even do me the courtesy of waiting until I was dead. I've heard more than one grisly story of a farmer passing out drunk in a pig pen, and in the morning there's only bones. Had my cousin Melinda visiting a few years back with her son, and I told her to make sure and keep the baby away from the pigs. I still remember the dawning look of horror on her face when I told her why, like she couldn't believe that a pig would just eat a baby. But most pigs would. Most pigs will eat just about anything that doesn't stop them. I feel I may be doing pigs a disservice here, to be honest. When I say a pig can be your best friend, I'm not exaggerating. They can be tremendously affectionate creatures, and I've known more than one pig that I've put in the running against any of my human friends. But it's hard to get past the idea that if my human friends would draw a cock and balls on my face when I'm sleeping off the drink, my pig friends might just eat me. They probably wouldn't, because we're friends. But they might. It's not even like I run a proper pig farm. I just keep a few at a time, since they're quite handy to have about. A couple of pigs are a great way to dispose of waste, and their manure is great for composting. And I can't deny, when it's their time, they are quite tasty. I do sell the meat, though I take a lot of pains to make sure people know it was raised cruelty-free. I take care of them. The point is, I certainly have never had so many pigs that I would lose track. And I know I never bought or birthed the monster pig. When I first called it that, it was just because it was huge. I never got a chance to properly weigh it, but it must have come in at around 300 or 400 kilos. I don't know if you know about pigs, but that's big. Bigger than big. It's a monster pig. I didn't find out about the rest until... well, I didn't know. I don't know where it came from. I didn't buy it, I didn't take delivery of it, and as far as I can tell, no one else did either. It's a bit hard to tell, as this was back in March, so the Merlot harvest season was well underway. As you've seen, while I do have a few pigs, this is a vineyard. We supply grapes to a lot of the bigger winemakers around here, and I'd been toying with the idea of starting my own label, but haven't really done anything with it yet. When you're writing this up, make sure it's clear that we're near the Marlborough Forest. That's not the same thing as the Marlborough region, which is famous for wine. That's on the South Island. I just don't want there to be any confusion. Where was I? Yeah, it was the height of the Merlot harvest, so most of us, myself included, were out in the vineyard for pretty much the whole day. I hadn't checked on the pigs in a while, but the next time I headed into the sty, there it was, sat in the corner, just encompassing the corner, its bulk filling the place out as the other, smaller pigs tried to find somewhere to be that wasn't next to it. It just sat there. And stared at me. I didn't like staring back at it. It made me feel strange, like it was sorting me into cuts of meat. There was more in those eyes than I'd ever seen in another pig, hidden among the rolls of pink flesh. They had malice in them. The pig wanted to hurt me. I'm sure of that. I didn't know what to do. I asked around to see if anyone knew where it had come from, but no one had any idea. They were just as baffled as I was. Though they could see it, which was, you know, a relief. Or not, since it being real meant it had to be fed. Part of me did consider immediately trying to send it for slaughter, but something about the way it looked at me, almost daring me to try it. A thin trickle of pink saliva glistening around its mouth. I'm absolutely sure if I'd asked Manawa or any of the others to bring it out for that, they would be dead. In fact, the more I think about the whole situation, the more certain I am that the monster pig wanted nothing more than to kill and eat me. It just didn't want the hassle of breaking out of the sty. Though I'm sure it could have if it really wanted to. I tried to feed it, but it was so huge, it ate so much, and there wasn't enough for all the others as well. It wouldn't need to be violent, it would just shift its mass towards the trough and the other pigs would just be moved aside. When it ate, I got a closer look at that mottled body. It was covered in small lumps and marks that at first I thought might have been ticks or some other sort of parasite. But as I got closer, I saw that they were scars. Shot scars, most of them, with some that looked like they might have been from spikes or axes. One of them looked like finger marks. As I stared at it, still stood in the pen, my eyes darted again to the gate and the lock that was now looking far too flimsy. It could just leave an attack. There was nothing I could do to stop it. I just watched it eat all the food. Not enough food, apparently, since after a few days of this, it decided to supplement its diet with poor Toby. I'd looked after Toby since he was born. I'd helped birth him. He was my friend. So when I saw what was left of him lying in the pig pen on that damp Tuesday morning, I'm not ashamed to say that I cried. He was the first of my pigs to go, but I was sure he wouldn't be the last. I tried to get the other pigs out a couple of times, move them to another pen, but the monster would start to shift its weight towards me with alarming speeds and I would always run away like a coward. The only time I seemed to be safe was when I was bringing food. This went on for months. My brother Kurt came for a visit at one point. He said he planned to stay a couple of weeks, but the very first night I was woken up by the sound of movement outside of the farmhouse. I grabbed a torch, popped on my boots and headed outside. I didn't even consider not checking the pigsty first. Sure enough, as I got close, I heard something, though it wasn't entirely clear what it was. It wasn't the sound of a colossal pig eating my brother, though, so that was encouraging. It was him, though, stood there, staring into the darkness. He was muttering something to himself. I think the words were, long pig, short pig, wide pig. Narrow pig. Over and over, long pig, short pig, wide pig, narrow pig. He didn't seem to be entirely conscious, so I was reluctant to wake him. I didn't think it was a nice situation to become aware of all of a sudden. That said, when he reached over and started fumbling with the latch, I quickly changed my mind and shook him awake. His eyes snapped open properly and immediately focused on something behind me. In the sty. I didn't need to look around or ask him what he was looking at. His pale, stricken face told me plain enough what it was. To his credit, he managed to stay another 3 days before he had to return to London on a business emergency. For context, I'm pretty sure he works as a traffic warden. And still the pig just sat there, waiting. I believe it was the circus that got your attention, though, wasn't it? That's what you were asking about when you turned up. So, the Carley Brothers Circus mostly tours around Australia, but every couple of years they do a New Zealand tour as well. They do a few other spots around the Pacific, but the important point for this story is that this is one of the years they're doing New Zealand. Now, generally they need anywhere between a couple of weeks and a month of moving things over, setting up and getting all the right permissions and arrangements in place before the tour begins in earnest. I went to school with the brother of the guy who runs it, so the last couple of years they've done this, I rented out one of my larger unused fields to them for their staging area. It's pretty easy money, and they don't need to use my facilities and tend to be almost entirely self-contained. The first year they did it, there was a lot of trash left behind we had to clean up, but apparently someone bashed the right heads together about it since last year there was barely a cigarette stub left. So the arrangements were all made, and the Carly Brothers Circus moves onto one of my fields for a month. I get drunk with the ringmaster and a couple of acrobats. So far, so normal. I almost forgot about the monster that lived in my pig pen. Almost. A few weeks passed without anything happening, then one of the clowns disappeared. A man named Angus Dale. He's been a member of the circus for almost 10 years now. No drink or drug problems, no issues with his personal life. Nowhere particular else to go. Exactly no reason to up and vanish from his job without telling anyone where he's going. They started a search of the Marlborough Forest. They informed local police. They started discussing the best ways to publicise the disappearance. I'm sure you can guess where this is going. Through it all, there was this dark little suspicion growing in my mind. I never saw any evidence for it, not really. Nothing that would stand up in court, but even so, the suspicion grew into a theory which grew into a certainty. That pig, that monster, still squatted in my sty. The lock hadn't been damaged or left open, so it was hard to see how it could have gotten out to attack a clown, or even how Angus might have gotten in. But I know he did. I know that thing killed and ate him. I keep having this dream. I used to watch the rehearsals for the Carly Brothers performances, and I can clearly remember Angus Dale's voice, or at least his clowning voice. I was watching him perform, but instead of a comedy skit or a bit of slapstick, he would sink his teeth into his limbs, with this crunching, cracking sound, gradually eating himself. But even with a mouthful of meat, his laugh was still clear as a bell, his jokes and pleas for mercy clearly articulated. He never gave any sign he was in pain, but every few seconds he would stop laughing or chewing and just repeat the words. Long pig, short pig, wide pig, narrow pig. Before starting up again. When I finally managed to drag myself out of bed the next morning, there was a bright, white, human femur on the ground in the pigsty, lying in front of the enormous fleshy form that just gazed at me in horrid triumph. I didn't want to tell anyone. That would have brought